Well, good evening, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our weekly sports show, and the show is going to be heard from now on every Saturday night, as it is tonight, at 5:30. So keep that in mind. Every Saturday night at 5:30, our guests will be heard. And tonight, after you hear the show, you can go to White Sox Park and see the White Sox and the Boston Red Sox. It should be quite a game tonight. And the Cubs continue on their winning ways. They're playing Ray Kroc's team out at San Diego, and they're playing very, very well. So there are a lot of things to see and to do tonight if you're going to stay home, radio and television and a lot of things. Anyway, have a nice evening. Our guest today is going to be one of the top figures in the world of wrestling, perhaps the most enthusiastic wrestling promoter in the country, and he's done a great job here in the Chicagoland area, and I'm referring to Bob Luce. He has a great, great show coming up on the night of June the 30th at the International Amphitheater. It'll probably be one of the biggest shows he's ever put on because there are four championship matches on one card, and believe me, that's one event that I intend to see. That's June the 30th. We'll be back with our guest, Bob Luce, in just a moment. I don't think there's anyone in any line of business who is more than an enthusiast for the business he's in than Bob Luce and wrestling. And he's made a great name and a great reputation for himself over the years. And boy, this card, how do you set up when you set up so far in advance a wrestling card like you have for June 30th that involves champions and all that sort of thing? How far ahead do you have to set it up? How do you know that these guys aren't going to be billeted to be someplace else?
Well, Bob, because Chicago happens to be one of the main centers for wrestling in the country, and therefore the champion, Nick Bockwinkel, is available to me at any time within a week's notice if it's necessary. In other words, if I feel there's a bona fide contender. And in this case, of course, he's wrestling the Giant on June 30th. However, we had originally planned to make that match earlier because the Giant had been in Chicago and won his match. And, of course, that was contingent on him wrestling Bockwinkel. But that was the time Bockwinkel was in Hawaii, and I couldn't get him at that time. So we held off until the 30th. So that match had been already in the works probably the start of May. That match was already set for the 30th, see, Bockwinkel and the Giant. Now, the other one. Bruiser and Brody. Brody and Bruiser have wrestled twice at the amphitheater, and Brody is the only man that has beaten the Dick the Bruiser in Chicago. He beat him the first time, and on the second occasion, Bruiser couldn't beat him. So it was a mental victory for Brody, and even though they ended up fighting outside the ring, still Brody has not lost to Dick the Bruiser, and this is a phenomenal thing. So this match was an automatic. I mean, after the match is over, you go in the dressing room and you say, hey, you know, let's settle this thing. I mean, you know, the fans want to see a winner, so we're bringing him back chained. Now, in wrestling, what you do is you don't put a big, heavy chain that they can't move around with, but a smaller chain that they can manipulate with, but it's really tough. They can't go outside the ring because they could get tangled in the ropes and hurt themselves. So it's just a precaution to make sure that we try to get a winner. And, of course, it's a rugged match. So that's how the two were made.
How are where are the chains attached? On their legs?
On their ankle, one ankle. So they're still able to move about, and the chain link is, I think, 14 feet, so the ring is 20 by 20, so you give them a lot of leeway. However, they use the chain as a weapon. But you see, Bruiser doesn't care. Brody doesn't care. Brody is a giant, and Bruiser, you know, Brody is bigger than Bruiser. One of the few fellas that he's had in his career that is bigger than he is. So it's going to be a very physical match, and Bruiser doesn't really care about the chain, nor does Brody. It's a unique matchup. It's probably one of the best I've ever had in the 25 years I've been in Chicago. I don't think I've ever had a match that's so perfect as that one.
Well, I don't think there's anybody in the wrestling business that's tougher than the Bruiser.
No.
I mean, here's a real tough man.
Bruiser, you know, when John Wayne passed away, I was very sad. I mean, it actually brought me to tears when I saw this special on Channel 7 because I thought he was a great, great, not only outside the business, the movie business, I thought he was a great asset to the American public.
Yes, he was.
And in wrestling, you know, Wayne, they said, in his, he could do everything. You know, he could drink the most, they made the mention, you know, and he was this and that, and he was a boater. He's a boating enthusiast. He had his own boat. Well, of course, Bruiser, reminded me of Bruiser in a lot of ways. See, Bruiser is one and the one and only. There's nobody else coming along in our businesses like him. And I think that we've got one of a kind with him. And this Brody is a guy that's an absolute challenge to the Bruiser's authority. He's been the king in Chicago for years. You know that. He's drawn more money than anybody ever has and since or will. But Brody is a definite thorn in his side. I mean, he can't beat Brody. So I want him to beat Brody. You know, I don't want him to have that on his – I don't want him to have that. So I'll bring him back until he beats him, I hope.
You're right about John Wayne. I think everybody loved him. I had a chance to meet him twice. I had him in the pump room as a guest, and I talked with him for a half hour. And he was a marvelous guy. And the next time I was doing a World Series in New York, and he and Frank Sinatra were in the press room. And we all went over in the corner and sat at a table and had lunch together. And here I'm talking to Sinatra, another great figure in the show business. You know, Sinatra has done so much for so many people and so many organizations people don't know about. That man's given away millions. And John Wayne, too. But here I was with you would have enjoyed
this, yeah, right,
with those two fellows.
Well, you know, Sinatra, there's something to be said about Sinatra. You know, I was in Milwaukee recently, and they had at this big shopping center a Elvis Presley impersonator. But you never hear anybody impersonate Sinatra. That's how great a singer Sinatra is. He doesn't have his voice today that he had, but that's why he's so great. Nobody has ever impersonated Sinatra. Nobody can sing like him. And when you can't sing like the man because he was one of a kind. He is one of a kind. See?
I heard him the last time he was here in Chicago, he was at the one of the buildings.
I don't know the place he was at, but a friend of mine went to see him, a friend of mine in the business, Cadillac.
I want to tell you, the place was packed. You couldn't hear a pin drop.
But, you know, Bob, like, you're one of a kind, and certain fellows in this country, in this world, that you don't, there's no other molds made. It seems that Lou Gehrig was a mold of himself, Babe Ruth, Stan Musial. You know, these fellows, I mean, they're one of a kind, and in their entertainment business and so forth. And in Dick the Bruiser, believe me when I tell you, because I've been in the business, as I say, 25 years, and I've handled all the great wrestlers. And I've met them all. I met Landos. Lewis was still living when I was in the business. And they're all great. And Lewis was a man of his own kind. But Bruiser is an absolute legend. He's a legend in his own time and a man that the fans should see this wrestler because, you know, he's been wrestling a long time and he's still rough and tough. But they've got to see this man. He's fantastic. I never get tired of watching Bruiser. I watch him on television, and I get as big a kick out of watching Bruiser wrestle today as I did 25 years ago. And he's been wrestling about 20 years. I didn't meet him till 56, I think it was. And he was a character then. I mean, he is a character, you understand? Well, I'm a character. I mean, I guess the great people have their little idiosyncrasies, and he's no exception.
Tell me, if it were possible for Landis and Strangler Lewis to come back today, where would they fit into today's wrestling picture?
Well, Landis would be Vern Gagne. I mean, you know, he would be a Vern Gagne. And Lewis would be probably a Nick Bockwinkel. He was a rugged guy. He was more of a rough guy, you know. He wasn't a scientific guy as much as Gagne, and Landis was a Gagne.
Was Lewis responsible for the headlock?
Lewis was responsible for making it very famous, as you know, with the sacks of wheat and crushing the sacks, and the leg lock, his scissors. He did a lot with that, too, but that was also Stecker that did leg scissors. But Lewis was the headlock guy. You remember, he used to take pictures holding this thing at the training camp, you know. But today, you see, it's different. Then they used to wrestle once a month, Bob. Today they wrestle 5-6 times a week. Now, it's not Lewis was in good shape, but Lewis would have to be in better shape today to be on the circuit because the wrestlers today are in better shape. For instance, the big guy that was the bronze medal winner in the Olympics, Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor never could acclimate himself to this business. He was a big guy, a tough guy, but he, the grind, you know, wore at him. And I think that right now he's not, I don't think he's wrestling. But he had a lot of problems. He had hypertension, blood pressure. He had vein problems. He had circulatory problems, so forth. But it was the grind. See, Chris Taylor was in demand 5-6 nights a week. And, you know, to go a half hour in the wrestling business is tough and with the competition the way it is.
He was one of the big wrestlers who came out of the Big Ten wrestling program.
That's correct.
How big is the Big Eight?
Yeah.
What about the Big Ten?
Well, the Big Ten program is great, and they get some great wrestlers out of the Big Ten. Ellering is a past, not a Big Ten guy, but a collegian. There are some fellas now that are in the business that are Big Ten wrestlers. However, you've got to keep in mind that it takes 4 or 5 years before a wrestler really can get into the circuit, and Taylor made it in a year. But usually, Ernie Ladd, it took him 5 years. Ladd would play football, and then he'd be in the wrestling business when the football season ends. But it took him 4-5 good years. We've got a couple of big boys with the Browns wrestling with us now. But it's going to take them. They look good. A couple of black guys, real tough. But it's going to take them another 3 or 4 years before they can actually compete. It's a little different, you know. But, you know, Bob, I tell you, in the wrestling business, I tell this story, you know, when Chris Taylor came into the wrestling business, Vern Gagne brought him in the business. And Vern Gagne ensured that he would make so much money in the business because Gagne is involved with promotion as well as he's still wrestling, as you know. And the first week he was in Minneapolis, they took him into Gagne as a wrestling school. He doesn't have it anymore, but he has a wrestling school downtown, and he also has a place out at his farm. And he took him out to the farm, and he and Robinson wrestled with this guy for practically 12 hours straight, on and off, giving him a rest, you know. Yeah. And after it was all over, Taylor told me this personally. He says, "You know, Bob," he says, "I've never had such a physical beating as I've taken with those two guys." He says, "You know, and all they want to do is prove to me, you know, that in this business you got to be tough." See? And another thing, Bob, you know, the number one, not running, is not the number one greatest conditioner in the world. The greatest conditioner, and your doctors will tell you this, they've done a study recently, is wrestling. Wrestling, of course, nobody can do this except if you're trained or if you're wrestling in college or in high school. But if you want your kid to be in the greatest shape of his life and be, if he goes 20 minutes in a wrestling match, it's the equivalent, I don't know, of running boku miles, you know, and doing a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups, and so forth and so on. You can't get the physical workout with anything like you can with wrestling. So when the wrestlers are in the ring for 20 minutes, it's the equivalent, I don't know what it is, I think it's the equivalent around 25 miles. 20 minutes, and the way they go, and they're big guys, you know, and just moving like you and I, Bob. If we started to tussle with each other for 4 or 5 minutes, I'd have your heart beating, and you'd have my heart beating plenty fast just to try to move you around. So that's why I say that these wrestlers have got to be in great shape, and they are in great shape. And in the old days, the old-time wrestlers, they'd have to probably do a lot. Bruiser, for instance, he works out twice a day. He does special exercises for his waist. He does special exercises for his legs. He does special exercises for the upper part of his body. And he does every day. He's told me, in fact, he was talking to a friend of mine about these exercises he does, that he can't lay off one day, Bob, because he's, you know, if you're younger, maybe you can lay off maybe 1 or 2 days. But when you're doing it, like in case of Bruiser, you got to do it every day. And he's in great shape.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him as one of the really prominent figures in the world of wrestling, great Chicago promoter Bob Luce, whose next card will be June 30th at the International Amphitheater. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is an old friend, and we're delighted to have him, perhaps closer to wrestling than anybody in the country, and that's Bob Luce, and he's wrestling's number one salesman and enthusiast. I want to bring you back to a story that I heard, and maybe you can tell me whether there was anything to it. Landis wrestled a great fullback from Notre Dame by the name of Joe Savoldi. And Joe Savoldi, Landis was supposed to have given Savoldi this match to give him publicity, to bring him along. Yeah. And instead of that, Savoldi got a chance and pinned him.
Well, Bob, I wasn't there, but I heard about it.
Did you?
I've heard about it. Right, I've heard about it. The referee counted it, made a quick count.
Yeah, was that it?
The referee is still running. The referee is still unheard from.
Whatever happened.
I mean, in other words, what I'm saying is it was apparently the referee was the one that made the decision. The referee made the decision, not Savoldi or Landos, and it was probably, that type of thing. Bob, you know, when you say that to me, it reminds me, it takes me to any great sport that we've got and the calls that are made. Now, that referee made a call. He made a count. Now, I can't say whether they say it was a fast count. The Dempsey-Tunney count. The controversial plays in baseball where, you know, it's a fraction of an official, an umpire has got to be just, he's got to have fantastic perception, vision right there at that precise moment. They have instant replay on football and they can't catch it, you know. In fact, I've seen them play it back on football games on videotape replay, and I've heard them in the booth arguing about what they saw on the videotape. So as far as Landos and Savoldi, that was a controversial count. That's what it was. It was you're supposed to go 1001, 1002, 1003. See, you're not supposed to go 1, 2, 3, see. I mean, when the guy's supposed to, usually they go like this, and then they go under their shoulder, and then again, and under their shoulder, and that under the shoulder is the 1,000 counts. Right? So you're supposed to give them 3 counts, for Christ's sake. You're supposed to give them 3 counts. You're not supposed to go 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So the referee, the official that night, it's his, you know, nobody knows his name. Here we're talking about an incident that everybody in our business knows about, but nobody knows that fella's name. He never went down in history.
Bob, what about wrestling around the world today? Where is it? I know you hear about the Japanese, and how many styles of wrestling are there?
Well, actually, the Japanese are very Americanized, and they wrestle exactly like we do in this country. Hawaii is a very big area for wrestling. England's very big, only England is a little different. It's a round system in England.
What's that?
Well, you know, they have 3-minute rounds, I guess it is.
Oh.
My sponsor went out there recently, and he went over, and he was watching a match in English in England, and he told me it was a little different. Germany is very big. I mean, wrestling is very prominent. You know, Bob, I'll tell you something. When you think about professional wrestling today, now, we aren't listed this week in the TV Guide, my show on Channel 44. Sometimes they list me, sometimes they don't. They, you know, cum si, cum sa. But so what, right? We never get any articles in the newspaper. I can send them. I sent them 25 releases for my Super Bowl show. They didn't use one. But I'd call them up, and they'd say, we know all about your show, Bob. Well, I mean, I don't really care whether they know. I'd like them to use the release so everybody else knows. And it's tough to get the results in the paper, as you know. Your son called once, and they told your son, well, we're not taking wrestling. And your son says, what do you mean you're not taking wrestling? Well, we don't have any space. I remember that happening up in the amphitheater. Yeah. So the point is, Bob, in our business, when you ask me how wrestling is around the country, all I can tell you is this. In Illinois, we'll just use that as an example. If you correlate the tax paid by wrestling, professional wrestling in the state of Illinois, we pay 10% tax on the money that we gross. Nobody else does this except boxing and wrestling. Isn't that amazing? Baseball, football, they don't pay 10%. I have to pay 10%. They bill me as an exhibition, but I pay 10%. I wish a baseball would start paying 10%. And football, right? Or don't let me pay. So we pay more tax in the state than boxing. You know, boxing doesn't even rank. I mean, we pay a lot of money to the state. And this goes on, nobody knows about this. Now, the system in Wisconsin, they don't have a commission. Wrestling is big there. Indiana wrestling's big. Michigan wrestling's big. Every state in the union is running wrestling. You realize, Bob, that tonight in the United States alone, Bob, there will probably be over 1,000 wrestling shows tonight in the United States alone. 1,000. How many baseball games are going to be today? I mean, you're going to have 10 baseball games.
15, 24.
Well, in the American Association and so forth. But 1,000 wrestling shows. And that's not all. Tomorrow, there'll probably be about 600 because you can wrestle in some states on Sunday. Then you'll go back to that 1,000 syndrome. Plus, in Japan, we've got wrestling is so big, Bob. It is such a it's just an amazing thing. But you see, wrestling business is this way. It's regional. I promote in this area. I promote in a three-state area, and then another promoter promotes in areas. You know, I have an area that's a very commercial area for us. A big area, like in New York City. That's another big area in the West Coast. But there's a lot of great promoters in this country. There's a lot of great promoters. They got maybe 15 promoters in Japan. They got maybe 3 or 4 promoters in Hawaii. So we're talking about a tremendous business, Bob. I'm just a little spoke in the giant wheel.
Bob, while you're mentioning Japan, I happen to see it on television. What is that business over there where they draw a circle and they can't get out of the circle or they lose? Is that it?
That's the sumo wrestling. Sumo wrestling is a popular thing over there, but not like the American wrestling as we do it here. It's very big. The wrestlers from this country that go over there, they get astronomical amounts to go over there and wrestle. They get their plane fare paid, and they wrestle over there maybe 7-8 days, and then they come back here. We even wrestle in Korea, Bob. They send a plane load over to Korea. You know what I mean? We wrestle in South America. Yeah. Bob, it's just fantastic.
Why is it that with all the attendant publicity on the Inuki Clay affair, which turned out to be unfortunate, sort of a fiasco, why haven't you ever brought Inuki here to Chicago to take on one of these big wheels?
Well, we brought Baba here recently. Baba was brought here last January. Baba's the champion there, or was the champion. And he wrestled Abdullah the Butcher, who was a big card over there. You know, Abdullah the Butcher walked into that, what's the hotel downtown, that the new one? You know,
the Marriott?
No, the big one down, no, the other one, the one that you were going to do the show out of, right on Michigan Avenue. The big, right by the Drake.
Oh, the Continental Plaza?
Yeah, right. I'm sitting in the Continental Plaza having coffee, and here comes this guy. I've never seen Abdullah the Butcher. And he's a black guy, right? And he came walking over to the table, and Moose recognized him. And he sat down, and Jesus, I thought he'd been shot right through the head with a howitzer. He had a hole right here. I never saw, like an Amtrak, you know. Jeez, I said, what? I looked at him, I says, my God, man, what, did somebody shoot you in the head? And the fact of the matter is, though, that he's been wrestling for a few years, and he's been cut and hurt in that, you know. And, you know, it's just, Jesus, he looked bad. He should wear a hat, I told him. I says, hey, you should walk around with a hat on, boy.
Our guest today is wrestling's number one enthusiast, Bob Luce. And we'll be back in just a moment. Our guest, Bob Luce, wrestling's number one enthusiast and promoter. And we just have time to mention again that he has a really super fantastic show coming up at the International Amphitheater with 4 championship matches that night. And that's June 30th. And, Bob, that should really pack them in.
Right, Bob, and you'll be our guest out there, of course, and we'll be up in the Hall of Fame with you. And I want to wish you a lot of luck, too, and your appearance at the Hall of Fame. And you justly deserve that honor, Bob. I've always maintained you're a real legend, and it's my pleasure and privilege to be sitting with you here.
Thank you, Bob. Our guest, Bob Luce, as you can tell by listening to him, one of America's most enthusiastic wrestling fans and also one of the top promoters in the country. Remember, we have a new time now. That's this time, 5:30 on WAIT every Saturday afternoon. So try to get out to the ballpark tonight. See the White Sox against the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox have a good chance to win the championship. Last year they lost it by a half a game. They were in a playoff, and Bucky Dent hit a home run that beat them. And also the Sox will be home again tomorrow to play Boston. So a lot of baseball this weekend. Anyway, have a happy time, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next week at our new time.